visit that we made to Vietnam last year was a group of seven of us. Three of us happened to be nurses. One person was a physician, and three were scientists. And again, this visit occurred over a 10-day period. And actually, we started from northern Vietnam and moved all our way down to the south part of Vietnam. I just want to say that I have no financial relationships to disclose, unfortunately. No, I'm teasing. Okay, so we're going to be talking about community-based rehabilitation, and basically this is a concept that has been developed by the World Health Organization back in 1978. And it was developed in order to improve services for those with disabilities, especially people who are impoverished. And it's currently implemented in over 90, and this is developing countries. Just a little bit of demographic characteristics about Vietnam. The population is 92 million. It's divided into provinces, districts, and communes. And the gross domestic product is about $1,000. Disability prevalence based on the ICF classification is 15.3%. Now, the international classification for functioning disability and health was revised in 2001. So it broadens the scope of how people consider disability or what is considered disability. And it includes mental disabilities too. So in terms of community-based rehabilitation in Vietnam, it started 30 years after this concept was actually developed. It started in 2008. And the Ministry of Health oversees it, as well as the Hanoi School of Public Health. Right now, it's only being practiced in three specific provinces throughout Vietnam. Okay, and what is the objective? Well, it's to improve the quality of life for people with physical disabilities through rehabilitation, assistive devices, and basically training communities and their families on rehabilitation maneuvers. All right, so this is just a pictorial of the overall concept, and again, it's like, okay, hey, we'll identify people in the community with physical disabilities, and how can we all gather around and help them? There are three major components for CBR, and they're medical, educational, and social. Medical is, again, the home-based rehabilitation, and also to identify people who could benefit from prosthetic devices as well as surgical interventions. The educational component is to target people as early on as possible for educational interventions. And the social is job placement, social activities, IT access, and to get people involved in advocacy programs. And again, this is a pictorial of the interventions. And the overall goal being to improve quality of life through minimizing more functional limitations. Okay, Susan.
I would like to make a couple of statements up front. I should have also mentioned I am a nurse, and I worked in the United States Navy during the Vietnam conflict and took care of Americans who came back from that war. And I got heavily involved in peace activities at that time. I have worked since then on issues related to the use of Agent Orange dioxin that was sprayed multiple times over South and Central Vietnam. Our trip, in fact, worked out with the Vietnam Agent Orange Relief Responsibility Campaign that has as its sister organization a group called, it's the Vietnamese Association for the Victims of Agent Orange. So our trip, even though it spanned less than 2 weeks, works with the National Organization of Vietnam that in fact is responsible for identifying children and adults who have been impacted by the use of the Agent Orange dioxin in Vietnam. The land in certain sections where there were United States military bases, and there are about 28 remaining hotspots continues to be contaminated. So our visit to Vietnam was to take a look at what remaining hotspots there were, particularly around areas like Da Nang Air Force Base, Bien Hoa, and Phu Cat, and to take a look at the remediation that's going on, as well as to work with the adults and the children who remain affected. One of the issues in Vietnam is because of the impact of Buddhism, people in rural areas feel that there is something that one of their ancestors did wrong to have an effect on why they are suffering in today's world. Whether their children are born with some of these terrible birth defects or they have a family member who suffers from the impact of, and we know in the United States there's about 18 different correlated illnesses that have been identified by Veterans Administration as related to those people, in fact, who were exposed and developed certain types of diseases, like respiratory diseases, certain types of cancers, and chloracne. So again, where we may take a scientific look and say, okay, we understand that there is a relationship between those who were exposed and developed these diseases, in the rural areas in Vietnam, there is kind of an ongoing belief that there was something that was done in a prior life or by an ancestor to cause this kind of impact on the family. We met with several families, and again, the families who we met with had been identified by VAVA as those who were impacted by the spraying. This young man who you see in the picture is 29 years old. When I first saw him, I thought, oh my goodness, somebody made a mistake. They really mean 29 months. No, he's 29 years old. As you can tell, he's got barely no affect. The mother lives in this one room, very small shack. The way that she gets electricity is by passing a cord through to the house next door. But there's virtually no power. They live in a very rural area. She is the one responsible for taking care of them. The husband, they're living in the area north in Vietnam. Her husband was south, was in Quang Tri province, which was heavily sprayed, and he passed away about 10 years ago. Her family kind of dispersed as a result of the ongoing struggle during the conflict, and so she is left with this child to take care of. She can go outside. She has a small rice paddy, and that's how she cares for the child. And you can tell it's one room. It's a very depressing area. She takes care of him. Part of the issue that we've been talking about, community-based rehab, and one of the neat things about Vietnam is that the society is based, as Carol mentioned, on the commune and the district level. So the very basis of what WHO had set up as community-based rehab is already kind of in place in areas like Vietnam because the family is there, the community is there, and they take, I can only describe it as exquisite care of the children. So part of the impact of having community-based rehab is to have people come in and help and help them design programs and help the families to be able to get some respite. This young woman, again, she is 29 years old. The mother's husband, I was just struck by going into the home because on the wall is a picture when she and her husband got married. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, it's like many couples. You see that's the beginning of life, and instead what happened was the war in the 1960s, ending in the 1970s. He died about 10, 12 years ago, and she is the only one taking care of this young girl. They are able to communicate. I mean, it was incredible to me that the mother perfectly understands what's going on with the child and takes care of her in this home. And I'm just thinking about the last presentation and the chips, and you can see, right, the chips and the candies. So it's almost no matter where you go in the world, that's an issue. And I have to tell you, one of the things I thought when I saw this family is, oh my goodness, if we could do some kind of music therapy and help to be able to communicate better with the child. I'd like to point out to you all this wheelchair. USAID, through some allocations from the United States Senate, has allocated around $112 million to Vietnam to pay for about $30 million for children with disabilities, not identifying what the cause is. The rest of the money has gone to the cleanup of Da Nang Airport, because that will be a center, a commercial center, certainly, for Vietnam. Some of the monies have gone to devices, as you see here. This wheelchair, which is a garden chair, it's a plastic chair, cannot be comfortable for this child. I think that she was put into it and brought out to see us because we were visitors, and they wanted to show that this is something that they could do. These are throughout the rural areas in Vietnam. They're kind of a gift that doesn't do much either for the children who are in need of services or for the families. This young girl has severe cerebral palsy, and again, it was incredible to me that the mother is able to communicate with her and understand what she needs. What they do need is that community-based rehab to be able to provide really important adaptive services that will make the child more comfortable and help the mother to be able to get some relief time. We visited an orphanage that is about 20 miles outside of Ho Chi Minh City. There are between 72 and 75 children there. These were the youngest children we saw. A number of the children are up walking around. And we wanted to show this to show that there is, in fact, a continuing impact on the damage that was caused all those 52 years ago when the United States sprayed South and Central Vietnam. It's been 52 years since the initiation of the spraying. We stopped spraying in 1971. And because the land and some of the food sources remain contaminated, we continue to have problems. The other problem with contamination of the land are the very poorest of the Vietnamese who live near some of these contaminated sites, in fact, go fishing in the lakes and grow food on the land. And this is what we have. You can see the children with terrible hydrocephalus, with atrophied limbs. And part of the ongoing problem is the mothers may not know that they, in fact, the fetus has these types of problems. And then there's not a whole lot that can be done except to stay at home and take care of the children.
And let me just add, one of the things that we noted on making these home visits is how well these children have been cared for. They basically lie on bamboo mats, and I didn't notice one bedsore. And having been in public health for over 30 years in New York City, I see that a lot, even for those people lying on $20,000 mattresses. So community-based rehabilitation, well, it actually starts at the bottom, where the person with the disability is identified at the district hospital. And then the training moves up the line, and then it includes physiatrists, physical therapists, and it goes from the district, then to the community, and ultimately to the family. So that is the whole concept behind community-based rehabilitation, having the community and the family take care of the kids. The other thing that we noted was that a lot of these kids were cared for by single parents. And, you know, it made us think when we would leave the homes, like, when the parent dies, what's going to happen to these kids? So the outcomes, there's three major outcomes. There's the training of the person with the disability, there's rehabilitation, and ultimately employment. I had to put this slide up because this is one of the sites that we visited, and this was considered their rehabilitation department. But one of the things that I'd like to note is that I visit a lot of facilities in New York City, and they don't have Hoya lifts. So this, at least, they had a Hoya lift here. This is one of the examples of some home-based rehabilitation. Employment, this is a bonsai nursery that we visited, and this young man was employed there. These are people with disabilities learning how to do sculpting. These are young women learning some embroidery. And the training to date, basically every graduate and postgraduate medical school students are trained on community-based rehabilitation. There have been many manuals and books developed on the topic, and there are over 21,000 community workers trained in CBR. So what are the future plans? Well, to integrate into the existing services, to expand to more provinces, and increase job placement for those with disabilities. And some implications for public health nursing. Nursing plays a critical role in community-based rehab, and maybe CBR could be employed in some of the rural areas in our country. Thank you.
Just one more thing. Just one more quick thing. One of the issues that we're working on is we've had legislation introduced to the House of Representatives to heal the wounds of war between Americans and the Vietnamese, and what we are asking for are to be able to provide services for the children of American veterans, to provide services for the Vietnamese who have been injured, and to clean up the land. If you are interested, I will be more than happy to give you the orange card that we're asking people to sign so that we can work on getting this legislation through the House and through the Senate. Thank you.